Hello, this is Jackie Trotman from Guided Christian Meditation, and welcome to our continuing series of Building Spiritual Muscle. And I'm really excited today to have the Reverend Scott Smith with us. And Scott started at our church, First Presbyterian Church in Kirkwood, as our youth minister. And then he left on a tour of duty to Iraq as an Army chaplain and returned safely to us to be associate pastor. And now, sadly, I found out prior to having Scott here, is he is going to have to leave us again, and he's been called back into active duty. So let's all welcome the Reverend Scott Smith.
Thank you, Jackie. It's good to be here.
Thank you. And we're going to be covering four pieces here of building spiritual muscle today. One is how practicing a faith builds courage. The other is dealing with a shadow self. Being vulnerable and being open builds courage. And receiving forgiveness also builds our courage muscle. And so I'm just going to have Scott turn it over to him and tell us a little bit about himself and the military, and giving all of you folks out there who have friends and family and loved ones also a little peace and comfort today.
Well, it's good to be here. Thanks for the opportunity. I served with the 37th Field Artillery Battalion out of the 25th Infantry Division in Hawaii. And we went to Kirkuk, Iraq, and we were there for what we thought was going to be 12 months. It turned out to be 15 months because we were extended. And I served with that unit as the battalion chaplain. So there's one spiritual advisor for roughly a battalion ranges between 800 and 1,000 personnel. And so it was a lot of work, very intense, but a great opportunity to serve. And I'm very glad that I was able to make it back safely, and Fortunately this next round is going to be stateside, so I won't be returning to Iraq anytime or Afghanistan anytime soon, as far as I know. But I appreciate your invitation to be here, and these are important topics, and practicing a faith certainly does build courage. It gives us the ability to fall back on something that is meaningful to us when our mind is actively taxed and our body is exhausted. Our faith can be the sustaining force for us, especially when we're being overstressed and we're in very hostile situations, which is the day-to-day experience for soldiers who are deployed. And the interesting thing is the faith connection between soldiers and their spouses and family members, that they knew that their family members were praying for them and supporting them, and they felt that presence and that power as a means of encouragement while they were going about their day-to-day task of serving the country. So faith was a very important part of our entire experience. And even those that were not practicing a particular religious tradition found a lot of strength and encouragement by talking about their own experiences, and so opening themselves up to conversations. And then that provided me the opportunity to pray with them and encourage them. And so their courage, and maybe even more importantly, their resilience was bolstered or made stronger because of the presence of my presence as a chaplain, kind of a warm body that represents God in that context, but also by the support of other soldiers who were believers, who were practicing their faith and sharing the love of God with the people that they were very intimately connected with because they were their fellow boots on the ground.
Well, and I think that's wonderful to know from the perspective, because we don't know what it's like over there, and for you to share how important prayer really is and how much it really does mean.
It's vital. And we had so much support in the types of care packages and materials that were sent for reading and Christmas presents. And when you think about the course of even 365 days, the things that go on, and if there is such a thing, a normal family's life, birthdays, illnesses, deaths, the good and the bad, all these things continue to occur, but these soldiers are separated from their families, so they're removed from their support system. So when you celebrate your birthday and the buddies around you become your family, the same is true for your faith journey. Your buddies around you, and I'm using that term, male and female, all friends and, you know, fellow patriots, they become your family. And so you build a community of faith in that context where your church is made up of people who are maybe not like the kind of people you worship with, you know, stateside, all these diverse denominations and backgrounds and ethnicities that come together to become the fellowship of faith in that context. So your family, your real family, your community, your faith community becomes this battalion, so to speak, and your daily interactions and celebrations and highs and lows are experienced together in that context. And every day that a soldier puts on the equipment that they need and they go outside of the wire and they engage in doing their task, whether it's going into a village and trying to build relationships, or it's just basically maintaining security for a particular village that they're assigned to, every day they roll out, they're putting themselves at great risk, and they know that. And after a period of time, you become desensitized to that. Mm-hmm. And so that provides you the opportunity to have conversations with the people that you're with. As you become a little bit more comfortable in that context, you start to say, okay, I'm going to be spending 12 hours in this Humvee with these four people, so we need to get to know one another. Mm-hmm. And so the amazing relationships that are built there are even maintained today. Those people come back from war and they're sent off to various different installations, you know, they don't remain a cohesive unit anymore, but the camaraderie and the friendship and the remembrances of those connections are very strong. Yeah. And the other area that you had mentioned was dealing with a shadow self. And what I mean by that, and there are a lot of definitions for that, but I believe that we all of nature experiences polarity, really. We're always struggling, if you will, between doing the right thing or choosing to do something that's perhaps more selfish. Not that every day is a decision that's that stark and black and white. Sometimes the decisions are very nuanced. But in terms of ministry and being courageous in the faith and being active Christian witness in the context that you're in, we're all struggling against whatever it is inside of us that keeps us from doing the right thing. That shadow self, or the part of us that is maybe dictated more by our sinful nature than our nature of being redeemed in God and being more positive, sometimes is a real struggle for the soldiers that are in theater, that are, you know, actively serving the country. They have to deal with these issues, but they also have to couple that with the experience of their life being at great risk. So they're working very diligently to do their job, to try to provide the security that's necessary, but they're also dealing with so many personal issues like depression and stress. And that is multiplied because they're separated from their family and their strongest support system in most cases. So as they're dealing with these things and the things that we all deal with, they need a resource or a means of verbalizing that, a way of talking about it and not feeling ashamed to become vulnerable and share the personal parts of their lives that they're struggling with. And so the role of the chaplain then is to be that that sounding board, and also try to develop a camaraderie and a relationship where they can come and talk to the chaplain and know that that's a non-threatening and very confidential moment of engagement. so that their career is not threatened, their their reputation is not at stake. They're coming and talking to a confidant and being able to be transparent, and then they can be turned around from that experience and sent back out into combat to do their service, and they are more courageous and they're more confident and they're more secure in what it is that they're going to need to do for that day. And many times it's just a roller coaster ride of emotion for the soldiers.
And with the shadow self, then what is the best way to deal with that? Is it number one, to like recognize it?
That's
and
right.
Acknowledge it and be aware.
Mm-hmm.
And then how tactics or what you can do to fight that.
Right. It's both and. It's in really admitting the fact that there are things about your person and your being that you need to talk about that you maybe want to otherwise repress, but
mm-hmm.
talking about it is the way to really make some sense out of it and to move forward and to overcome it. And then there's also the chaplain knows their realm of expertise, and they know there are moments when they need to couple with a mental health provider, and then there are even more tangible ways for that person to be engaged in therapy, to work through some of the issues of depression or difficulties or addictions that they might be experiencing. So it's really a team effort, a cooperative approach to try to provide the best spiritual and mental health care for the soldier that is possible in that context. But really it does start with the willingness to talk, the willingness to admit, to be vulnerable, to examine oneself, and to be honest about what you're experiencing. And many of the issues, especially around addiction and depression, are obviously caused because of their context, because their daily situation is so intense and the family separation is there. And even broken relationships that occur along the way because there's so much time away from home. So the relationships are not healthy, therefore they spiral down. So just a multiplication of stressors on an individual soldier that then makes them need to react. And if they don't have the means of the resources to go to and talk, or they don't have their own willingness to submit to, I guess, some direction, if they're resistant to even admit that there's a need for them to talk to someone, then it's quite an uphill battle.
So were you able to, with, I don't know how many people you were with at one time when you
mm-hmm.
were stationed over in Iraq, how
mm-hmm.
many people, were with your team, and if you
mm-hmm.
had a chance to kind of circulate amongst everyone, or if you were just
mm-hmm.
pretty much with the same folks, or that you were able to give mm-hmm. some care? And
yes, my battalion was divided onto three different forward operating bases because we were field artillery, and so I would travel from one forward operating base to another and conduct a religious service, be available for counseling, and sort of the key word for chaplaincy is presence. You just become a presence and a reminder of the sacred. And so many times it's just walking around, engaging in conversation, trying to be supportive, and then that will lead to a more intense or, if you will, a more formal counseling relationship. So normally it's just the ministry of presence and being engaged in an ongoing relationship. And these were with my battalion personnel, so it was the same people throughout the entire experience that I was engaging with.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many did you say again?
In our battalion, there were just around 700.
Okay. Wow.
But battalions can be as large as 1,000. So. Yeah.
And I know the next part we're talking about being vulnerable, and I keep hearing you
uh-huh.
use the word vulnerable,
sure.
which is was surprising to me with courage. And I know how
right.
you say that courage, that being vulnerable is really important to courage. So I was
yeah.
going to ask you about.
Sure. In order for us to be confident in what it is that we're doing, and therefore courageous in that, even if it's something not as even as hostile as being in combat, for us to be able to be courageous and confident in what we do, I think we have to be honest with ourselves. And there's always fear in doing something new. There's always fear in approaching a new challenge. But if we know ourselves and if we're confident in who we are, we can move forward courageously and with great confidence. Honesty with oneself is a prerequisite to courage and confidence, because unless I'm willing to open myself up to look at what my skills are, what my areas of weakness are, to kind of define myself, I can't really move forward. And you can't be honest with yourself or even honest in your relationships with other people unless you're willing to be vulnerable. No positive relationship can occur without that type of submission to and vulnerability to the other person. So honest with self, vulnerable, in a sense, saying, I can't do everything and I'm not invincible. That's a good place to start in order to build courage and confidence. And especially from a faith perspective, we can be much more courageous and confident if we're trusting that my day, I'm going to have some control over what happens throughout this day, but there are a lot of things that are beyond my control. And so I'm trusting in the goodness of God, the grace of God, the presence of the Spirit to guide and direct my steps throughout the day so that I make wise decisions. So that too, faith is a vulnerability. It's a submission to authority and to a power that's greater than oneself. And that's often difficult to do, and I would think that's one of the most difficult things in faith practice as a whole, is to say, I'm not in charge.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I definitely find that in my life, and the times that I've, you know, totally let go and really let God take over, it seems so effortless, and it's not as scary.
Right.
But I don't know why it's so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times when it's really easy to do. And,
it is.
I guess it comes with building up any muscle. It's like you just have to keep submitting over and over.
That's
again.
Right. That's right. Yeah, endurance and wisdom, you know, they come together over time. And if you become conditioned to be honest with yourself and vulnerable, then it becomes a much more natural thing. You even realize in advance, I know myself well enough that I'm more than likely going to make this particular decision, and it may not be a good one, so I'm going to avoid it in advance. So familiarity, honesty, vulnerability. And those are words that are not always coupled with courage and resilience and confidence. But I really think, went back to the polarity of existence, you know, we go to the extremes. We're really kind of engaging in a journey that's swaying back and forth between moments of great vulnerability and loss of control and many moments of confidence and courage. So life certainly is a journey in that respect,
and a learning experience. And it's ironic, the polarity that you talk about, because when you think about being vulnerable, it sounds like it's a very negative thing, or it's a meek or
right.
or weak.
Yes.
Type of situation, and it's really not.
Not
I mean,
at all.
It's the exact opposite.
It's great strength and honesty, yeah.
But I think that's where our culture has, you know, really kind of educated us on mm-hmm. what it means when it's not what that means.
That's right. Yeah, that it takes great strength to be humble and to be honest, yeah. It's pretty amazing. And I actually, to touch on this fourth point about being able to forgive oneself and in order for you to be able to be courageous, that comes back to the honesty. If you realize your weaknesses, you know that you're not in control. You're able to acknowledge your own failures and even some of your potential failures, but to trust that these will not dictate who you are as a person, that your failures do not define you as an individual, as a person. From a faith perspective, they do not define you as a child of God, then you're much more likely to be courageous. You're much more likely to build strength, faith strength, and courage in this regard. But if you can't forgive yourself, if you can't receive forgiveness, if you're constantly seeing your flaws rather than seeing your strengths, you will not be a courageous person. You may not be able to do the things that you need to do in that particular day. So much about this is about self-worth and self-esteem that comes from your identity in God. And you can't have an identity in God without accepting the goodness of God and that you were created for giving glory to God. So there are some starting points to leading up to courageous and confident and faithful living. And to me, the first starting point is knowing that we are forgiven and then free to live life in a very positive and fulfilling way rather than being held back by our failures.
We had a Sunday school lesson on our Thursday nights not that long ago, and it was from 1 Corinthians. And that's what really struck me was it was the verse about, when we're in Christ, we're a new creation, but it talked about how we were in righteousness and that, you know, simply said it was God loves us the way we are.
Right.
But there wasn't anything that we had to do.
Right.
It was that he loves us right now with all of our flaws and all of our shortcomings. And I had never heard it like that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a beautiful image. And it actually frees us then to respond to God's goodness. There's no obligation. It's more of a thankful response to the goodness of God and the grace that goes before us. And so if we're able to receive that forgiveness, it's freeing. Yeah. It provides great life.
Yes, because when we don't receive it, then we go into that kind of spiral you were talking about.
That's right.
Judging and the low self-esteem. And
exactly. And knowing that we do have failures is an important thing. But then turning and realizing that those failures are less powerful than God's grace and goodness, that's liberating. That changes life considerably. You talked also about, had invited me to mention the battle mind concept.
Yes.
And that's a non-religious thing, even though it's got some very spiritual elements to it. But in the United States Army, because of the tempo of deployments and the continual flow of soldiers in and out of country, they've realized that the soldier has to be battle ready. And they can have all of their equipment in check. They can be proficient with their weapon. They know their soldier skills, soldier's task. They've got all of these things down to a science. They're extremely proficient. But they may not be emotionally well, and they may not be physically well. They may not be complete and whole as a person. So though they may be tactically proficient, they're not emotionally and spiritually ready to do what it is that we're calling them to do. And as they continue to deploy and then come back home and reintegrate as best as possible and then go back again, their skills are continually being reduced. They cannot maintain wholeness and health and proficiency and wellness. And so the program that's been developed is a battle mind program, which allows the soldiers to be, to use a clinical term, basically assessed by a group of people who have their best interest in mind, including mental health providers, just basic physical wellness, doctors, medical staff, And the chaplains play a role in it as well in trying to provide some spiritual health. And the program that the soldiers enter into is really just an assessment of their wellness, because what we don't want to do is to continually deploy a soldier who is emotionally spent and is not going to be effective, even though they may be able to do their basic task. They may be able to function. They're not really well. And there's not been the systems in place in the past to assess, because we haven't had the need to. But now, because of the prolonged engagement in the conflicts, we've had to reflect and learn and develop a system whereby that the soldier is battle-ready, battle mind is in place. And this is not a battle mind where my mind is ready for me to engage in battle and I'm not a person. I don't become a robot. My actions are not robotic, but I'm functioning as an ethical, humane, real soldier. That's a person. And I think the perception by a lot of people in the world is that soldiers become conditioned to desensitize and to not think anything other than kill, kill, kill. Mm. And that certainly is not the case. And especially in these types of conflicts that we've been engaged in, our intent is to not go in and annihilate an enemy, because it's not a huge force. It's not toe-to-toe battle. It's pockets of insurgency and people that you're engaging in battle with that you don't always actually see, because they've been placed an IED in the roadside, or they're shooting mortars into a compound. And so you're not engaging in direct, toe-to-toe, eye-to-eye battle with anyone. And so that takes a different type of skill set, a different type of emotional wellness and centered being to engage in that type of warfare. So we've learned a lot of lessons, and the Battle Mind program is helping to provide soldiers with much-needed care in a lot of different areas of their life. And it's a very positive turn.
Well, and I have notes from when we talked last time that you said the warrior and the feeling person were possible.
That's right.
Which is what you had kind of touched on. But
right.
I like the warrior term that you
right.
you used.
Yeah.
And that courageous person is a centered person.
That's right.
A centered person.
Yeah. So if we provide our soldiers with that option of being honest, being vulnerable, engaging in real conversation about who they are as a spiritual person and as a human being, then it's much more likely that they're going to be more effective and more courageous and more centered as a soldier. They'll do their jobs better. And they'll have a sense of confidence about who they are, why they're there, why this is important. And they'll be much more likely to make wise decisions.
Now, with Scott leaving us, we've pre-recorded this call as opposed to having a live call. So, unfortunately, we won't be able to take any questions. But I would like Scott just to maybe offer any words that you'd like to say to, families, loved ones that are out there that have soldiers that are serving.
Absolutely. I would be honored to do that. Each and every day, people may not realize, but they're passing by spouses, children, mothers, aunts, uncles of service members that might have been gone for a year or more, or maybe they've just left and they know it's going to be a year ahead of them. They might be awaiting the immediate return of someone for R&R leave, or they may have not heard contact from their family member who's deployed for a couple of days, and they're wondering. So every day we're passing by these people and we're going on about our daily task, our daily life, and it's sometimes easy to forget that each and every day there are thousands of families who are experiencing the difficulties of separation and soldiers who are serving in harm's way. And so I just want to offer a blessing and a word of thanks to both the service members and their families, and to thank them for their service to this nation, and also ask that God would continue to guide our leaders as they make decisions about where soldiers are going to be and what type of service they're going to do and how they're going to carry out their mission. I pray that God will give them wisdom beyond their own abilities and guide them to make ethical, moral, and important decisions for the best interest of our country and for the citizens of the countries in which we're serving in. There can be nothing more meaningful and hopeful than to think that there will be a time when children in Iraq and Afghanistan can go to school without being fearful that there's going to be an explosion, that they can have free elections and they can have opportunities for education that they have not had before. So I would just ask that God would bless all of the families, the service members, and bless the world as we try to make meaning out of our existence and work toward times of peace for everyone and equity.
And keep the prayers obviously coming.
Yes, yes.
For
prayers and encouragement.
Continuous basis.
That's right. And look for opportunities that may exist through the USO or through Operation Homefront or other organizations who provide support to families of service members and service members themselves.
Okay.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. And yes, all of you, please continue to pray for our wonderful men and women that are serving our country and for our country. And I leave you with peace and blessings.